Support for State Street comes from Salt Lake Community College. With 8 campuses and flexible scheduling options, SLCC provides access to learning for Utah's future employees. More information on community involvement at slcc.edu/community.
Colleagues, imagine with me, if you will, a picturesque day at the local park or playground with your kids or your grandkids. Everyone's having a good time until the fun and relaxation is suddenly disrupted, disturbed by someone frantically yelling, "They've got guns."
That was Democratic Representative Jake Fitasimanu speaking to a House committee last week. 2025 was a year marred by gun violence in Utah. On June 15th, bystander Afa Alu was fatally shot during a No Kings march in downtown Salt Lake City. And in September, conservative activist Charlie Kirk was gunned down on the campus of Utah Valley University.
And with the deaths of Renee Macklin Good and Alex Preddy in Minneapolis in the last few weeks, the Second Amendment is top of mind for many Americans. So, how are Utah lawmakers looking at the issue in 2026? I'm Caroline Ballard, filling in for Hugo Rickard Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. This week on State Street, we're taking a look at this year's slate of firearm-related legislation.
We'll review what's been proposed, what it would do, and whether Utah lawmakers are looking at the issue any differently after recent violence. Before we dive in, let's lay some groundwork. One word to describe the relationship between Utah and the Second Amendment. What do you have, Sean?
Well, in one word, I would say cozy. We're a very pro-Second Amendment state. We have a strong pioneer history here. The images of settlers moving across the West, defending themselves against a harsh landscape, is still very much alive and well in here. Just look at the murals at the Capitol. There's also lots of hunters and a strong population of sport shooters here in Utah. And people also use them as a tool. They're a functioning part of running a farm or a ranch. You have to defend your livestock. And we're also an open carry state. As of 2021, you can carry a gun, concealed or not, without a permit.
Okay, so all of this makes sense. And there's the political culture, too. We are in a conservative, Republican, supermajority state. And this is all reflected in Utah's laws.
Yeah, exactly. And firearms are readily accessible and easy to buy for adults here. You do have to have a clean record, and you have to go through federal and state background checks to buy one if you go to a gun store. But that's pretty much the only hurdle. And private sales, that's kind of the Wild West of all of this. There's very few restrictions on who can and can't purchase a gun from someone they know already.
So we have a little bit of an overview. Let's turn now to the moment we are in. 2025 was a year filled with public violence in Utah.
Man who identified himself as a peacekeeper. His intended target was another man with an AR-15 style rifle. Police are asking anyone...
The easy access to guns is driving these numbers.
The pistol recovered at the scene came back as stolen from Louisiana.
Authorities have found the weapon they believe was used to fatally shoot Charlie Kirk yesterday at Utah Valley University. It's a high-powered bolt-action rifle. And they have an ID.
Less than 3 weeks, Minnesota has lost a second resident to the lethal force of immigration agents.
You know, Sean, I've found myself running to either a computer to edit or to a crime scene to cover shootings several times. It was a really heavy time, I think, for people in Utah. They could feel it. And it's also brought up a lot of tricky legal questions around firearms and the Second Amendment. The No Kings shooting really comes to mind. That's when self-described peacekeeper Matt Alder fired shots at Arturo Gamboa. Alder said he was trying to prevent what he perceived as a potential mass shooting. Gamboa was legally carrying a rifle in the march, and it ended with bystander Afa Alu being shot and killed. It took them 6 months to even charge someone. Here's Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill when they finally announced the manslaughter charge against Alder.
The homicide team continued to work the case, and the case presented a very nuanced and complex set of facts. For example, we have some very liberal open carry laws in the state of Utah. We also do not have any specific prohibitions against guns in public places or events. We have also a jurisdiction that provides a safe harbor to the use of lethal force against others, which had to be a part of any ongoing consideration.
And questions around the Second Amendment came up more recently in Minnesota. Alex Preddy was legally carrying a firearm when ICE agents shot him. Now, the Trump administration said Preddy shouldn't have had a gun. And now the NRA has said they affirm the right for people to bear arms, quote, anywhere they have a legal right to be. So there's lots of questions coming up.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is an emotionally charged issue for everyone, whether you're a lawmaker or not. And I say that because people tend to use radical language when they're talking about guns. I'm thinking of the catchy tweets that just say, ban all guns, and then the famous NRA quote from My Cold Dead Hands. I actually asked Representative Fitzsimonu about this, and here's what he had to say.
I'm optimistic that we can break it down and find commonalities and actually have human conversations around the topic. But I will admit that that's very difficult. This is an emotional topic. And when emotions get involved, we tend to move to hyperbole and to kind of skirt around issues that could actually be, you know, brought, that it could actually bring us together. But we're trying to help people at least get to the point where we can discuss and talk about these things on a day-to-day, you know, practical basis.
It's really one of these issues where the extremes from the left and the right just dominate the conversation. How do you even set aside differences to have a genuine conversation about it?
I think that's something familiar to a lot of people, you know, in politics, but also maybe around the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Yeah. Senate President Stuart Adams was hesitant to answer questions on this, but I asked him about this recently, and he did say that he thinks Charlie Kirk's death united rather than divided Utahns on this issue.
In Utah, you saw the Charlie Kirk event. Our governor handled it extremely well. I actually think it brought us together. And I actually think it made us more rational. I think in Utah, we've handled it differently. I'm pretty proud of how we've done that type of thing. And you're seeing bills come out that are rationally being discussed. So the answer to your question is yes, I think we will rationally look at it. Hopefully we will. I hope that's the way we hopefully do things in Utah. Perhaps it may not be, but I think my hope is, and I think my expectation is, we will.
That was Utah Senate President Stuart Adams. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll dive into what Utah lawmakers are eyeing this session for gun legislation.
You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Caroline Ballard. Okay, so what exactly do lawmakers have in mind this year for firearm legislation? What bills are we looking at?
You know, there are more than a dozen bills right now, and we could see that list grow. We're only a couple weeks into the session right now. And one of the most interesting to me is by Representative Fitzsimonu. His bill is called Imitation Firearm Amendments. It's about guns, but it's not really about guns.
Okay, say more.
Yeah, let me explain. It would make it an infraction for a child if they were to knowingly possess a lookalike or imitation firearm, essentially a toy, where a reasonable person might think it's real. I spoke to Fitzsimonu about his bill, and here's what he had to say.
What's the story behind this bill?
A local high school student actually presented this issue to the West Valley City Council back when I was a council member and talked about how really scary this situation can be for her and her peers in the high school. We're talking about folks showing up with airsoft guns that have been painted or altered to look like real guns, and really they're just playing in a park or in a ball field or something like that. That was the first incident that was raised that prompted me to talk to law enforcement and talk to parks and recs departments across the county, and found out that, yeah, this is actually something that's happening in other areas. And even more recently, a year ago, I had actually another legislator who called me about a situation that happened in the local school right by where he lives.
Usually Democrats are not very successful with getting firearm or firearm-related legislation across the line. It is held right now. obviously a lot of steps need to happen before a bill becomes a law, but how optimistic are you that, one, you'll be able to advance this out of committee, but get it onto the House floor, get it through there, get it through the Senate, and eventually to the governor's desk?
I think more importantly than getting a bill passed is really making sure that we're socializing the topic and making sure that this language is being talked about and that we're building the case for it, even if it has to be long term. But I am optimistic because this bill in its original form was actually drafted with the Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice Committee members here last year. It made it all the way over to the House third reading calendar, and it got wiped on the last day of session. There wasn't time. But that gives me hope that there is definitely bipartisan interest. This is a topic that can impact us no matter what our partisan background is. And so I'm optimistic about it.
What changes are you making, and when do you expect this to be back in front of the committee?
Sure. I'm working with the interest groups who spoke in opposition, as well as with other legislators who are both for and against this kind of legislation. And I really think it comes down to a couple of words, maybe, that would make people happy or not. And as long as they don't change the intent of what we're doing, I'm actually really okay with making these changes.
Is there something you see happening that would spur that conversation? Is it the No King shooting last summer? Is it the killing of Charlie Kirk? Is it some national event happening to have a non-hyperbolic conversation, as you say, about this?
When we see the news in neighboring states or across the nation of these kinds of incidents happening, it's easier to dissociate ourselves from it because it's not happening in our backyard or at my kid's school or in a church house where I worship. And so when we bring these conversations down to a day-to-day, neighbor-to-neighbor kind of level, I think that's where we have the most productive conversation.
Do you think at all that these instances of violence almost entrench the extremes on both sides?
I think you could see it that way, for sure. I think that there are really emotional reactions to all of these stories, and sometimes that gets us past some of the more practical conversations that we could be having. I also think that the frequency with which these incidents take place have really normalized them in American society. That also influences the way we talk about it.
Representative Fitzsi Manu, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the time.
You know, this really makes me think of Tamir Rice. This was back in 2014 in Chicago. He was 12 years old, carrying an airsoft gun when he was killed by a police officer.
Yeah, this is the exact situation that Fitzsi Manu told me he wants to avoid in Utah. Apparently there have been some close calls that he's been aware of. But right now his bill is held in committee. Republicans sounded largely supportive. One called it a bill that is to keep kids safe and prevent a child being shot by police officers.
That's keeping kids safe is a big thing for Utah.
Exactly. And in many different ways. But you know, firearm interest groups spoke against it. They said it needed some tweaking, mostly minor language changes, some clarification here and there. But one lobbyist said this would be better solved at the city level than by the legislature. So we're still waiting to see where this one goes.
What else is on the table?
Well, speaking about gun bills more broadly, lawmakers aren't really on the same page. There isn't a unified strategy. Some bills even directly contradict each other. One bill by a Republican makes it easier to carry a gun on a college campus. Another by a Democrat makes it harder. Democratic Representative Verona Mauga has a bill that would prevent open carry at protests, seemingly to prevent the exact situation that happened last summer at the No Kings protest. Mauga's bill has not been in committee yet, but I can see critics say that this would step on those Second Amendment rights and Utah's open carry law.
Okay, so we have bills that would do specific things, but a lot of what happens at the legislature is also tweaking and technical changes. Tell us about some of those technical bills.
Yeah, so one bill would exempt groups like firearm manufacturers from liability if a person purchases a gun and then commits a crime. The comparison that was made is you can't sue a car company for making the car a drunk driver hits you with. That bill passed in committee pretty easily. Another one of those bills deals with background checks for items regulated by the National Firearms Act. Those are things like silencers and short-barreled rifles. No background check if you've already had a clear one in the last 30 days. That's what that bill would do. And from what I heard during the presentation on this bill, it's a very onerous process for someone to obtain one of these items. It can take up to a year, is what was testified, to get your approval. The government clearly knows who you are if you are going through this process, and it would just cut one layer of red tape for someone who is trying to do this multiple times.
Sean, there are also some bills that have already failed. Representative Andrew Stoddard is on year 4 of his firearm storage bill. So this is if a child gets their hands on a firearm that has not been properly stored away, and then the child commits a crime, the adult who didn't store it properly would face charges. So that's a no-go. Already failed.
Yeah, and that all circles back to Utah being a very gun-friendly state. It's hard to change the status quo, at least in today's political climate.
Also, I always think about the Republican supermajority here in Utah. I can just imagine Democrats who want a lot tighter regulations are not going to have a ton of success, even though they say it's a priority. Here's House Minority Leader Angela Romero in the Democratic response to Governor Spencer Cox's State of the State this year.
Community safety means taking threats seriously and being willing to have honest conversations about sensible gun safety laws. These vital laws protect lives while allowing for and respecting responsible gun ownership.
But Democrats, they just don't have the numbers to do this. Plus, it is an election year. We've got midterms coming up. And gun control or regulation, they're not exactly a popular platform for conservatives. So if you support a bill that might trend that way in the legislative session, I can see someone thinking about the campaign trail coming up and then having that thrown back at them that they are anti-Second Amendment. It just doesn't seem particularly palatable.
Yeah, this is an issue where people are pretty entrenched in their beliefs and not much will change their minds.
So coming back to the question we kind of started with, we had all of these incidents of gun violence we laid out in the beginning of the episode. Have they changed how Utah lawmakers are looking at this?
I would say yes and no. Certainly the Democrats are reacting to this, saying it's a priority and running bills that address specific incidents that have happened in the past. And on the Republican side, I do think the rhetoric has softened. But at its core, it's hard for me to see their beliefs about the Second Amendment changing that much, especially in election year. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Caroline Ballard. Just a reminder, stay on top of all things Utah politics by subscribing to our newsletter. You can do that at KUER.org/State Street.
State Street happens because of our team. Jim Hill keeps tabs on all things digital, and Alexis Rausch did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production here at State Street, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark got deeper into the editing weeds with us this week, and Hugo Rickard Bell will be back next week.
Caroline Ballard is our executive producer and pinch hitter par excellence.
Well, thanks, Sean.
See you next time.
I know. I have that delicate lady voice. I know we're all used to the manly men in State Street now. I just want everyone to feel really relaxed.
This is public radio.
From KUER.